If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 7. Healing the deaf, there's hope. Starting with verse 31. Again he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, within the region of Decapolis. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they implored him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his fingers into his ears. And after spitting, he touched his tongue with his saliva. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed. And he began to speak plainly. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. They were utterly astounded, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Jesus is on the move again. He had a regional ministry. He was not limited to any village, town, or city. He was in Tyre. He was in Sidon, Lebanon today. These cities were on the Mediterranean coast, northwest of Israel. He went through Galilee, the home of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and now off to the Decapolis. It means 10 cities. A region east of the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River. This was the area that the 2.5 tribes of Israel occupied as the rest of Israel crossed the Jordan River and went into Canaan. If you remember, there was already a missionary there, the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons. Remember, Jesus cast the demons out of him. They went into the pigs went and drowned in the sea. And they pled with Jesus. The townspeople pled with Jesus to leave them. The man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus sent him back to the 10 cities, to that whole region, and said, "Tell them your story." Remember, he didn't know very much. He only knew what Jesus had done for him. And so he told them, and he kept telling them. We can tell our story. We don't have to know an awful lot. We don't have to know everything. Sometimes we think, "Well, I just wouldn't know if they asked me a question. What would I say?" He didn't know very much. But what he knew, he was able and willing to tell the people in the Decapolis. And this time, instead of rejecting Jesus, the people were ready to embrace him, and they brought people to him. This was a different encounter than the Syrophoenician woman. If you remember, she was in a private home. He was in a public place. She came on her own. He was brought by his friends. She fell at Jesus' feet. He was laid at Jesus' feet. She was a Gentile. He could have been Jewish. Jesus said to the people, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." We see that phrase repeated often in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 9, it was used at the end of the parable of the seeds and the soils. In chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus used it after the parable of the lamp on a stand. In chapter 7, verse 16, it was used after Jesus proclaimed that no food was unclean. In chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus said, "Do you have eyes but fail to see? And ears but fail to hear?" Justin Brooks wrote about his being deaf. He said, being deaf is like having an invisible disability. From the outside, everything looks normal. Most people don't know when they talk to me. I'm trying to read their lips, predict what they are going to say, and generally miss about 50% or more of what's being said. Loud, noisy places mean I'm missing more. So in large gatherings of people, I tend to feel my loneliest. It's pretty cool that Jesus met with the deaf man away from the crowd. It would be nice if people didn't get mad when I can't understand them and ask them to repeat themselves. I'm working feverishly at trying to decode what they are saying while trying not to sound like a fool. My mind is trying to construct your sentence from the bits of speech I heard and the movement of your lips. I also probably have zero context to try to build this sentence from. Just because I'm deaf doesn't mean I know sign language. I feel trapped in the middle between the hearing and the non-hearing. Thankfully, things are starting to come around for people in this middle ground, as our ranks will soon be filled with baby boomers and the millennials who wear earbuds 24/7. More resources are becoming available to us. I hope, as technology advances, voice to text becomes more reliable and widely used. I wish people would take a moment to look at me when they speak, enunciate what they say, what they need to in a normal, calm tone of voice. When it's rushed, garbled, yelled, or you're looking the other way, the conversation is going to be rough for both of us. When I answer your question with some off-the-wall response, don't get angry and think I'm messing with you. I'm trying hard, and I'm sorry that I'm not perfect. If you say something I don't understand, don't assume I'm ignoring you. I probably have no idea that you're trying to address me. I cringe when I hear people say that if they had to be disabled, they'd pick being deaf. They don't realize that being deaf is invisible isolation. It's not fun. It's very tough. It becomes a huge part of who you are. It invariably dictates almost every moment in life. Out of all the disabilities out there, if I had to choose one to be, being deaf is not the one I'd choose. I'd choose the disability of being a Red Sox fan. Here's a verse for those of us who can hear and see. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. What happens to our hearing? Well, we can have distracted ears. Ears that are always listening to everything and anything. And there's a lot of voices out there competing for our ears these days. We can have distorted hearing. Sounds get confused. A car goes by. Soft music is playing in a restaurant, and hearing becomes difficult. We can have plugged ears. Little kids cover their ears and sing la 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 when they don't want to listen. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We can have swimmer's ear. Letting the wrong things enter your ears. Polluted waters. We can have dirty or waxy ears. We need to clean them up. You might need cochlear implants. I listened to one person on the radio who, a number of years back, his voice changed drastically because he had the implants put in. Fortunately, he's still able to hear. But we need the touch of the master's hand. Verse 32 says, they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty. And they implored him to lay his hand on him. I know when deafness gets kind of bad, it affects the way you talk. And it certainly affects the way you sing. I can hear the piano a lot better than I can hear the guitar. Thank you, Karen, for those first few notes on God is Good All the Time. I just couldn't pick it out from the guitar. It's frustrating when that happens. Jesus healed people. And the people came to expect that Jesus would heal them. But sometimes when we come to Jesus, he does the unexpected. He does things differently. And you can trust him to do the unexpected, to stick his fingers in the man's ears. You know, I mentioned to someone a wet willy and they didn't know what that was. All the kids knew what it was. You know, this is kind of Jesus puts his fingers in the man's ear and he spits on his fingers and he touches the man's tongue, because he puts his finger on the problem in our lives. Sometimes we don't like that, do we? We don't like when someone points out our deficiencies. But if we're doing this Christianity thing right, we're going to the scriptures and we're saying, Lord, is there anything that you want to convict me of? And we don't read the Bible and say, oh, this is something that so-and-so, yeah, boy, that's a good one for them. We're looking at God's word as a mirror and saying, Lord, what is it that you want to work in my life on? How do you want, Lord, to change me? So sometimes Jesus does the unexpected. And for this one, a germaphobe like me would really be like, spit and touch. No, that's off the charts. But it would be like Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. The head of the kings of the army of Aram, and he had leprosy. And he heard that there was a prophet in Israel that could heal leprosy. And so the king of Aram gave Naaman a note, and it said, please heal my servant. He took it to the king of Israel. The king of Israel thought that they were trying to get a reason to go to war against him. But Elisha heard of it and said, send him to me. And this is what the man thought. He thought, oh, he'll come out and he'll wave his hand over me and maybe do a couple of incantations or something and I'll be healed. Elijah sent word to him and said, go and dunk yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. And he was offended. For us, probably it would be like saying, go to the Hudson River and dunk yourself 7 times. Or go to Flint, Michigan, and go into the Flint River and dunk yourself down 7. See, God does the unexpected. William Cowper, in his poem, said, God works in mysterious ways. We don't know how God is going to work in our lives, but we know that God is good all the time. Tumnus said to Lucy in the Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan's not tame. But Lucy said, he is good. Our God is good. And there's a difference sometimes between the healing that we want and the healing that we need. So we need to go to him and ask for the healing that we need. Jesus healed this deaf man. He took him aside in verse 33. It's important to spend time alone with Jesus. It's great to go to a small group, a Sunday school class. We hope many of you will come out to the Sunday school class next week to hear Dave and Stacy share their ministry with us. But it's important, so important, to get off with the Lord by yourself. And spend time alone with him, allowing him through his word or silent meditation to speak to your heart. Get alone with God, verse 33. Again, in verse 33, put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. Jesus put his finger on the real problem. This, in the first century, was simple sign language. There was a personal touch from Jesus. We sing, he touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, made me whole. He touched me and made me whole. Then verse 34, Jesus looked up to heaven. He wanted this man to know who was healing him. Jesus, it's interesting, John said he didn't do anything by his own power. He was God. Paul, in the second chapter of Philippians, said he put aside all of his godly stuff. As it were, he put a veil over it, and he used prayer. Just like we pray, he prayed. We have that same power available to us that Jesus had. The power of God through prayer. He looked up to heaven. Psalm 123 verse 1 says, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Mark 6:41, Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven, prayed for, and multiplied the bread and the fish for the multitudes. John 11:41, Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven before he raised Lazarus from the dead. In John 17 verse 1, Jesus lifted his eyes before he began his great high priestly prayer for you and for me. Again in verse 34, we see Jesus with a deep sigh. Psalm 34, verse 18 declares, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows what we're going through. He knows our temptation. He knows our weaknesses. And he can identify with us. And through that sigh, that cry, he identified with the feelings of this man he is about to heal. And then in verse 35, he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed, and he began speaking plainly. To speak plainly of what Jesus had done for him. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. He couldn't stop because he was so excited about what the Lord had done. One day, a little boy came home from school looking really sad. His mom asked him what was wrong, and her son said his friend Billy's dad had died. He told his mom that Billy was so upset that he cried and cried all day. The mother asked her son what he did when he saw his friend crying. He replied, I just laid my head on my desk and cried with him. He was living out Romans 12:15, weep with those who weep. Jesus calls us into the lives of hurting people. Many times we are the hurting people. And we need people in our lives like Jesus. Sometimes they may not be there, and we need to trust in the presence of the Lord. Like this lady that Sharon mentioned this morning, 3 hours from her church family, a state away from her only daughter. We pray that the Lord's presence would be there for her. And perhaps the Lord has somebody appointed to go and spend time there with her. We hope he does. But we need to be those people who, when we hear people who are going through this type of difficulty, come alongside to help. I lost the statistics. I had them. I think 1 out of 5 people in America today have some form of disability. And they need people who will come alongside, as Jesus came alongside this deaf man, to be there for him. Will you do that? Will you pray with faith for those people who need prayer? Do you believe that today Jesus can heal people as he did in biblical times? Let's pray. Our Father, we pray today that you would give us a heart for those people who are suffering. Not, Lord, to be exploited, but that we might come alongside them to help. That we may share our faith with them. For we have a story to tell that you do all things well. And so I pray, Lord, that we might be that kind of a people today, that kind of a church today, that will love people, that will come alongside people, that will lift people up into your presence through our example and through our prayers, bringing people to you, that they might know that there is healing, that there is a balm in Gilead. We pray this in your name, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being such a great example to us. Amen.